Okay, so we're here, and you're there in your car or wherever the hell you are listening, and I want to say thank you for tuning in to Middle Finger Happiness. Work hard, live well, don't fuck with me. That is the name of this podcast and the same name of the title of my book on Amazon. And I'm sitting here eating
crackers
and jalapeno
chips.
Yeah, but the Lay's jalapeno chips,
Ruffles.
Man. Ruffles.
Yes.
And then
the
we've
ridges.
Been... No, you've been hitting the scotch.
I see. The first was a scotch. Now, I don't know what I'm hitting now. you provided that in.
We provided refreshments for our audience. No, I'm just kidding.
It's a spritzer?
It's like a hard lemonade.
It's good.
It's good. And you know what? Unfortunately, I don't even remember the name of it.
It keeps me... It's been keeping me pretty level.
We're humming. We're just humming.
It's all going to be good.
So thanks, guys, for tuning in. Oh, my gosh. It's Friday. What is today? What's the date?
Today is...
Leo's got to look on his phone because he don't even know what...
22nd.
Okay, so 22nd of May, 2020. Who would have ever thought we would be here on this day doing this?
We're living in strange days.
We are.
Very strange.
My guest, my neighbor downstairs, pop culture artist, extraordinaire, who knew Stan Lee.
Well, hung out with Stan Lee a little bit. Todd McFarlane, Lee Supersinski, all those guys. Those are pretty impressive.
Your artwork is amazing. We decided to do this podcast, and yes, I'll admit we have had a couple of cocktails.
Just a couple. Yeah, we had a pretty in-depth conversation prior to starting the podcast, which I thought it was pretty cool, you know. But you know, sometimes things happen, and we're here.
We talked about a lot of stuff, and that we were like trying to clear the table because I cannot tell you everything that Leo Phoenix does. Leo Phoenix has an interesting life. So I'm going to introduce to you right now, Leo Phoenix, my neighbor.
How's everyone doing? You guys can follow me at Art by Studio B, www.artbystudioB.com.
Yes.
One day in the future, I will write a book with all the Easter eggs.
Okay, so I have gone to Leo's studio, and I went there earlier today, and he has a guitar that is signed by...
Paul Stanley.
From Kiss.
Kiss, yes.
And so I'll be here in my studio doing my artwork, and I hear all this music downstairs, and I'm like, wait a minute, this music is not like ordinary music. This is like, he's playing the guitar.
Well, my buddy was playing the guitar. He was restringing it and tuning it for me, and I'm in the process of learning how to play the guitar, so you'll probably be hearing a lot of noise. I'm not specifically music, but noise.
It's always a lot of noise downstairs. So, oh my gosh, so I want to welcome you.
Well, it's a lot of noise from upstairs, too. I know when you're home.
You do?
Yeah, I hear all the clacking and thumping, and I'm like, Sharon must be upstairs.
I'm upstairs making some shit happen. Yeah, you know what? We were talking about that, the process of art, and you can see... an artist do a journal. You know, you can start seeing the stuff that you can tell when somebody's in a good mood, a bad mood.
Well, the evolution of where you're at.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So let's do the proper introduction to Leo Phoenix. Thank you for being here today.
I appreciate that. Thank you for having me.
Oh, this is...
It's always fun.
It is always fun here in the studio. Oh, my God. You know what, guys? I think what I have done... If you could imagine this, Leo... Just hanging out here all the time. What would it be like?
Well, the last few months has been kind of spooky. I mean, the only ones making noise, it's you or me or maybe one other artist that I know that are here. And it's been kind of a ghost town.
It has been because of the COVID.
Yeah, and now I think they unlocked the doors today.
It's open to the public. We are in the Silos on Sawyer, 1502 Sawyer Street. We are in the largest creative campus in the United States.
I think we talked about this last time. I think we're second behind LA. We passed Soho. So, but this is like the...
Wow.
This is like the hidden nugget
It is.
Houston is really, really expanding.
I mean, yes. We got the cool drive-through.
We do.
Drive-in right across.
What's it called?
You know, I don't even know.
Although, hold
it's
on.
It's really cool, though.
It is cool, but you know what? I ain't going to pay $20 to go listen to Grease. I'm sorry.
I'm just going to go walk over there.
We're going to walk over there.
Watch a show.
We're cheap. We're El Cheapo.
You know what? It's really cool, though, to have all those people sitting right across the silos and, you know, at 10:30 at night watching a movie.
I know. And there's like, how many cars do you think are out there?
They're making a little bit of money.
I would say at least 250 cars.
They're making a little bit of money.
Yeah, they're doing out there. You know what? You got to do what you got to do. I get it. You know what? What's the next big thing? Yeah, then we're going to get it.
Spread the fear, man. People will come out.
Oh, my God. All I can say is we have been happily having some cocktails here. It is Friday, and I just see my Ritz crackers on a Christmas plate right now. We've been hitting
the cheese, the crackers, and the ruffles.
But you're hitting scotch, dude.
I hit the Glenlivet's 18.
I don't do scotch.
18 years. That's the moose stuff. Or the Macallan.
Oh, hell no. Hell no. You're lucky if you even have me for a margarita. No, I have this. What do I have here? It's called
Or the cans.
I don't know where the cans are in the trash can. Anyway, so hey guys, thanks for tuning in today. It is Friday. You probably have us in your earbuds or in your Bluetooth in your car. And we're going to talk about some topics, man. I really did take notes. I know we've been drinking.
You did.
But I'm one of those constructive drunkards. I really do. I was like, okay, he's talking about this, talking about that. We talked about depression. We talk about fuckity fucks. We talked about your other head. We talk about who is responsive for your responsibility. We even talked about suicide. We talked about all kinds of things. And so we're just going to hit it off right now. So we talked about small fucks. So what are small fucks?
Remind me.
We were just talking about on social media how small fucks come up. Do you remember that?
Well, yeah. When you kind of like, you kind of screw up. You tell yourself, stop.
Yes.
You're creating, right?
Yes.
And you say, enough's enough. The piece is finished. Next thing you know, it's like, no, it's not done. You know, you continue to add to this piece when you know in your mind it's done, but yet you continue, and then you fuck it up.
I did that last night with a popsicle. Leo's testimony to this right now. We're looking at it's a really cool abstract pop looking popsicle, but I added too much and I fucked it up. So it's called a small fuck.
Yes, and I can literally, I can relate to it because I've been in that position where, you know, you got this piece. For me specifically, it's like, well, should I add some more shadow to it or should I stop? I think it's done.
You walk
but
away.
It's not done. Next thing you add to it, and now you're fucking
okay,
it up.
Okay, so how do you unfuck a small fuck?
You either start over or you cover it up.
Well, but in life, we're talking about in relationships. So how would we uncover a small fuck in a relationship?
I don't know. That's not a canvas.
Okay, in canvas, but we have experience in that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, like, how would you tell somebody, you're a small fuck and I have to erase you from my platform?
I don't know. Those are hard. We didn't talk about that. Did we?
Did not. I'm putting you on the spot.
Think I've been erased a couple of times.
We've all been erased. Okay, so Leah wanted to know all these questions ahead of time. There's no prep work for this.
I know. I don't know. I have a hard time erasing people. You fall for somebody and you try to work through it, and next thing you know, you're the one getting screwed.
You know what? I got news for you. We're all getting screwed all the time. I'm going to talk about this. Your other head. When your other head says no. We mentioned that earlier.
Yeah, I know. I did. I'm the one that brought that up. Because one head says yes and the other one says no. And sometimes you just...
Explain.
you have to use your rationale. And I've been through that. Mm. It's like, man, this is great, but you know that this greatness at this moment's not going to go anywhere. And you got to realize that. And, you know, I guess that comes with age and time.
Age and time. And maturity. You know what? It's a beautiful thing. If you can age with time in such a graceful, impactful, powerful way, like no fucks given, it's empowerful to other
it
humans.
It is. You know, this is the thing. When you don't really give a fuck, I guess what this conversation would have really doesn't have an impact on anything. But when you do, when you start giving a fuck about something, and you start thinking, well, should I think with this head or with the other head, and you do give a fuck, then that's when the struggle begins. You know, when you really don't, then it really doesn't matter where you go with the relationship or whatever you're doing, because you don't really don't care what the outcome is. But sometimes when you do care, that's when it starts getting complicated.
Well, Mark Manson, who wrote the book The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck, there's certain things that you should care about, but we're going to replace it with the F word. There's certain things you should give a fuck about, and there's certain things you should not care about. There's certain things you should not give a fuck about. Because if you're always in everybody's shiz, or I'll just say it, if you're always in everybody else's shit, but you're not in your own, how can you create what you're supposed to create?
How can you focus? That point I can completely relate to.
Oh, yeah.
Is if you're too worried about other people's shit, then you're not focused on your stuff.
Ah, but we're so programmed. We're so, programmed. I'm a weird person. I don't listen to the news. I don't watch the news. The last time I watched the news was during Hurricane Harvey, 2017. And even through this COVID situation, I still haven't really watched the news per se. Have you?
I watched the news just to gauge on the stupidity that's happening. that's the only reason. I want to know where this level of, I don't even call it news anymore. It's propaganda. It's propaganda from one side or the other side. And you know, I watch it to kind of get a gauge on where we're at. Not that I'm going to listen and follow, but just to understand on where this propaganda is going. And it's getting out of control. I mean, it's fracturing the country in every which way. And not that I listen to it, like I said, but I just want to get an understanding on where we're at from that side, because they have the stage, and that's the problem.
And who's they?
The media.
Oh, absolutely.
Journalism. They have the stage. On whatever side you're on, they have the stage.
They do.
And if you can, and if you don't educate yourself, and that's the problem with society these days. They listen to everything that's going on social media, on the internet, and what the media is proposing or putting out there. You have to educate yourself.
Yes, you can't be like a herd, or what is it called? The
sheeple.
Sheep.
You got to be a sheeple,
yeah,
man.
Sheeple.
I'm not an old sheeple.
No. And then if you do speak up against it, you're like, you don't know what you're talking about. You know what? We probably do know what we're talking about. You know, it's funny. I went to college for a degree in journalism, communications, and a minor in, journalism. But you know what? The bottom line is people are just so screwed, blued, and tattooed on the sensationalism of the story, and it keeps them focused.
If it bleeds, it leads.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so how do you unconvince or unfuck that thinking for somebody to say, hey, man, you know, you're 75 years old. Don't believe everything you've seen on the media.
You educate yourself. You got this is what the hierarchy doesn't want you to do. They don't want you to think for yourself.
Of course.
You have to educate yourself. If you're an educated listener, you're going to arrive at your own conclusion. When you don't arrive at your own conclusion, you're following somebody else's conclusion, and that can be completely wrong.
Yeah.
Me? I'll see what you're saying. I'll listen to what you're saying. Doesn't mean I'm going to follow you.
Right.
It means I'm just going to take an assessment.
True.
And then assess the situation, and then I'll arrive at my own conclusion.
Yeah.
People don't want that. Or at least the people in power don't want that. At least that's my philosophy. And I don't really give a shit what anybody else thinks, because that's who I am.
Yeah, we talked about, I'm trying to make sure my recording's going. Yeah, it's going good. So we talked about the definition of the top world. Do you remember that?
The top world.
Definition of being on top of the world versus being on the bottom. I don't know if you can remember. All I know is we had a really in-depth conversation to the podcast starting because we were drinking and talking. But okay, so let's go back to this question. Who is responding to who you are with your comic? You are a pop culture comic. Tell people who you are.
I mean, the people that are responding. I mean, it's kind of weird. They're all over the place, and then you know it kind of goes in stages. I mean, I think I asked you, one of my buddies, Jacob. I'm like, I'm not like really huge on social media because I really haven't pushed a lot of that. That's not been my focus. I think I'm more of a person-to-person kind of deal. You come to my studio, then you see who I am.
But when I walk into your studio and I see shit that's signed by Stan Lee, everybody knows who Stan Lee is.
I mean, Stan Lee, Lucy Patricio.
And you actually had a relationship with Stan Lee. So let's just talk about that.
I mean, what more do we have to say about Stan Lee? I mean, Stan Lee is the man. He changed everything from comics to what we're at now, the movies, the way you approach all this stuff.
What was the best piece of advice he gave you? Because I know you had talks with him.
Stan Lee, just the person gave a lot of direction. One is, Stan Lee almost went bankrupt at the age of 40. Marvel almost went south. But the key points is Stan Lee, the Jim Steranko's, the Joe Simons, what those guys didn't do is they never quit. That's right. The problem with society and young artists these days.
They quit. We quit.
Todd McFarlane, who is Tim Bradstreet. I spoke to Tim Bradstreet briefly in L.A. And one of the first things he said is the problem with young artists these days is they quit too soon. They never meet their true potential because they expect everything instantly.
Oh, it takes years, dude.
The key thing is to build. To build a foundation before you build a house. You don't build a house from the roof down. You build a house from the foundation up or it crumbles.
Mm-hmm.
And I completely believe that because Stan, Todd, Lee, Joe Simon, Ditko, all those guys started from the bottom up. And I strongly believe that. I mean,
you know what, though? Anything worthwhile having started from the bottom up. And people don't realize that. They're like, oh, you had it easy.
Oh, yeah, you made it. You're the man. But
no, you have no idea.
How did you get here?
Exactly. And you know what? It's funny because I talk about vulnerability. You're familiar. Any artist who's going to put themselves out there, whether it's a written word, a comic, abstract art, any type of art, it's vulnerability. I'm like, you're standing naked with socks, holes in your socks.
I mean, you're putting yourself out there, and at that point me personally, and this is just me, I really don't give a fuck what anybody says.
No,
you know, this is my deal. I've been lucky enough, Sharon, that I've never had really any negative input because of the stuff that I've done. That doesn't mean
because you're such a badass.
No, not that I'm a badass. Is that you know, I don't know. You know, this is the deal, but does it take time to get where you want to go? Absolutely.
Mm.
It's going to take time. Nothing comes easy. Nothing's free. But you're given the opportunity in this country where we're at to have that chance to get to where you're at.
I'm glad you just said that, in this country, because you know what?
We're losing it.
Motherfuckers. I couldn't have this podcast in Afghanistan or name some other countries.
Beijing?
Hey, they'd be like,
Wuhan?
Fuck you. Wuhan? Yeah. They'd be like, no, you know, fucking no way you can have this. We still live in an amazing country.
We still have the opportunity. We still live in the free country to voice our opinion. And when your opinions are shushed and squashed, which it's happening all over social media, you no longer have a voice.
Well, here's the thing. People believe it.
That's the problem, because they're not...
Don't believe everything you see, people, on the news or on social media. Oh, my God.
Educate yourself.
Yes. You know what? I went to college late. I was 45 degrees. I was 45 years old when I went
45
back. 45 degrees north. 45 years old when I went back to college. And I'm going to tell you, it just was the timing in my life. That was the time for me to get my degree. So going to school for communications and a minor in journalism, University of Houston, downtown here in Houston, they told us time after time, you want to make an A on all your reports? You ready for this, guys? Sensationalism. Sensationalism is what glues your ass to your chair so you watch over and over and over again and you're just like consumed with a story. But when a truth talker talks or writes, you are so shut down in a minute because you're not doing sensationalism. You're just doing the truth talking.
Nobody wants to hear it.
That's true.
You know, like we said earlier, if it bleeds, it leads. I mean, that's the philosophy in journalism these days. And the problem with that is not everything that's true bleeds.
I think what happens is the average person, and by the way, you guys that are listening, you're not the average person, because who the fuck is going to listen to Middle Finger Happiness, right? Work hard, live well, don't fuck with me. But really, the average person has a fifth grade reading level. That's pretty sad.
That is.
And you have to start thinking, you know, we're so convinced so easily. And when I say we, I'm talking about that category. You know, why do they continue to feel that, I guess, Polly Pocket of information? Like, yeah, I'm going to accept that. I got to do this. I got to do that.
This is it. This is the truth. No, yeah. I mean, it just comes down to the bottom line is I truly believe, and I'll always come back, you have to educate yourself to assess the situation, educate yourself, and then arrive at your own conclusion. If you can't do that, then you're following somebody else's philosophies straight up without you even questioning the situation.
So we're going to switch gears because we're going to talk about topics. We talked about a lot of stuff before.
We talked about a lot of stuff, and we emptied up a bottle.
A bottle of wine here with a microphone. But, okay, so it's definitely Stan Lee. I mean, I'm sorry, but I'm so in love with Stan Lee.
Stan's the man.
So Stan Lee gave you comic, Marvel. I mean, come on, guru.
I mean,
tell people what you do.
My reference back to Stan Lee is being back in L.A., doing the shows down there with Stan Lee at the Comic-Con and him leading the pack up there. And hanging out with Max Anderson, and Max Anderson at the time was his right-hand man, and he read he pretty much let everything for Stan, and being cool, regardless of what happened between Stan and all that stuff at the end. Max was a pretty stand-up guy from my perspective. I mean, sitting there and having my two big pieces that I have in my studio right now, a tribute to Marvel and a tribute to Dolly Seuss, Incorporated with to Stan.
All I know is when I walk in your studio, your colors are so vibrant. There's like orange and there's like aqua blue with pink and white, and I mean, it's just energetic.
It's just the vibrance. And having standing before Stan and saying, hey, I'm out here pushing my artwork, and it'd be an honor if you put your final touches on these pieces. And then Stan looking at me and saying, have you signed these? I'm like, yes, sir. I mean, I'm a nobody. And Stan's like, okay, well, they're gonna think these are mine. And he's laughing, and then he signs both of the pieces. And
now, why would he say you would think these are mine? Because they were badass.
They're pretty awesome. They're pretty awesome. I mean,
own it. They're badass.
I mean, the Marvel one is
all I know is they're beautiful.
A piece of Spider-Man, the Hulk, and the Silver Surfer incorporated into Lucy's Dream, and the other one is
now Lucy's Dream is your book.
It's my book.
Okay, my guys, I gotta interrupt. You have to come to the studio. It's 1502 Sawyer. What's your studio number?
121.
121. We are in the largest creative campuses in the U.S., I believe. But it's making a face from the alcohol.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be cold.
It's hot. You got no more ice.
No more ice.
No more ice in here. But really, it's really cool to be in this location because...
Man, this is...
It's magical.
This is an amazing place. I mean, the energy here... it's sad to see a lot of the artists leave during this time.
Yeah, COVID.
But if we can survive this, I think we're going to be bigger and stronger. Finally, today, they opened the door. It is hot.
Hot wine.
I need
Note to self, don't drink hot wine.
I need to go back to the Glenlivet's 18 with ice. But anyway, today they open up the doors to the whole facilities, which is pretty cool. I think if we can survive this during this period, I think we'll come up bigger and stronger than everyone. But I mean, this is a very, very cool place. I mean, look what we're doing right now.
Right.
What are we doing now? We're having a podcast talking about art, talking about all the
we're
other bullshit.
We're talking about art. We're in the studio. And I know a lot of people, when they walk in here, has this happened to you? I don't know if it's happened to you, but it's happened to me. They walk into the studio with their arms folded. So what is it? Arms folded meaning?
They're very, they're kind of very conservative and restrictive.
Yes. And then they look around and they're like, you make a living doing this? I'm like, yeah, because when you walk in here, what the vibe in here?
Well, if you call making a living eating macaroni and cheese, yes.
I'm making mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese, man, and the deluxe.
Yeah, no, but no. It's really there's a different world in here.
It is. It's a different vibe. I mean, just the artist over the last 2.5 months.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you've been here consistently.
Yeah.
I know I didn't give a shit. I came in here consistently.
And I kept working.
Maybe one or two other artists that I know that are out here have been consistently, that have been on the down low. But now everybody's kind of showing up now. But, you know, I showed up, you know, because regardless whether we had a flow, I know I had an issue with the creative process because of all the distractions.
Well, we talked about, and I'm going to bring this up right now, depression, even suicide. I mean, we were really, as creatives, shit, just as human beings. It's so easy to just get, like, down in the fuckity-fuck funk.
You show up.
Yeah.
And you show up and you're like, what the fuck am I doing?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, and then you're like, what do I do today? And then all you do is look at your stuff, and then you don't do shit. But, you know, I think that's part of the process. For me.
But we can't make that as an excuse. I mean, the crazy thing is I've been able to share an office with my husband, who's a NASA engineer, and you're like,
God,
he's
pretty cool shit.
He's making it's called a PLS. What is PLS? It's a life support system for the astronauts. Basically, it's the backpack to keep your ass alive on the moon.
What is it? Feet on the ground, or what is it called?
Boots in the moon.
Boots on the moon, baby. So, 24.
Yeah, boots on the moon, 2024. And that's what we're going
for. First female on the moon.
Yeah. And we're working for that because guess what? They actually want humans to live on the moon.
You want to hear a sidetrack that I believe? I think we're already there.
Yeah. Yeah, we're already
there.
That's me. Oh, yeah.
And on Mars.
Hey, we're running out of chips over here. Hey, I tell you what's crazy is... there's no more crackers. Ain't no more crackers. Crackers. I think what's crazy is a lot of people get influenced, that's the word, by what they read and what they see, but they don't do their research. Oh my God, what's that?
Man, that's some strong, warm shit that you gave me.
I just gave him a drink.
Anyway, man, hey, the stuff your hubby does, I'm telling you, man, I love it. Well, I hope the one day that yeah. Like he has like a piece of fabric left over, and he can sign it. I'll keep that.
Okay, this is what's crazy about what he does. He's like, it's just a job.
Of course, it's just a job to him because he's in the mix.
He's in the mix, and you're like, okay. So today I wrote an article. You're gonna appreciate this, and you who are listening, you're gonna appreciate this. Do you remember being on the merry-go-round?
Yes.
And you wanted to get off the fucking merry-go-round. But the kids wouldn't slow down for your ass. And you had to become a physicist. and you had to know about velocity.
Where am I going to land?
And you had to know, like, where you were going to land, right? And you knew when you were going to jump off. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Okay. That's exactly how we should handle life. Because when you jumped off and you land on the powder, dry dirt of the merry-go-round playground.
Or the hard ground.
What did you do next? You're like, fuck, I'm going on the swing set. Right?
Yeah, you didn't stop.
You didn't stop. But what happens to us as adults?
Is you get in a scramble and you try to figure out what the hell you're doing.
Silence, I know. It's interesting, but
you should just get up and dust off and push forward.
Exactly. So when you landed, I'm writing an article about this on Medium, but you just landed on the powder dirt and those buffoonery kids, little motherfuckers, they laughed at you, but you didn't give a shit.
You didn't care.
You just, I'm going to the swing set. I'm going back to whatever was next. So why don't people do that in real world?
That's the thing. I mean, you know what, man? I think it takes a special person to realize. And I'm not saying you have to be a special person. I'm speaking from personal opinion, experience. I don't really care what anybody thinks. If I fall down, I dust myself off, I get up and move forward. That's it.
Okay, guys, I gotta go, but I'll be right back.
So do I have to hold it down?
You gotta hold it down.
Oh my gosh.
You gotta have to hold it down.
Oh my gosh.
You gotta play it.
Well, you gotta hurry up.
I'll be right back.
Are we on?
You're still on.
Oh jeez, okay. Well, I'm gonna hold it down here for as long as I can. She's running, she left the door open. The bottom line is, when you come across the situation as we spoke about, you hit the ground, you get up, and you continue to go. We have no other choices. As an artist, you're either going to survive by understanding and believing what you do, or you don't. It's real simple. And sometimes you got to put those horse blinders on. Horse blinders meaning is, you put the blinders on and you move forward. You don't really give a fuck about what the person to your left or to your right's doing. You believe in what you're doing. And I think me and Sharon completely agree on these terms or the ideologies that's the process to take. If you sit here and listen to what everybody's saying and to what everybody's doing, then you're going to be all over the place. You're going to be scatterbrained. You're going to be a map. You're going to be a blob when it comes to that world. The thing is to create what you believe, pursue it, evolve it, and basically exhibit it. Otherwise, you just become like everyone else. And the problem with that with that process is that if you don't believe in yourself, then why should anybody else believe in who you are? The process is to find that signature style, that drive, and that passion in what creation is all about. And sometimes is that easy? No, absolutely not. Is it trial and error? Absolutely. Is it something that happens overnight? No. Is it something that evolves over time? Absolutely. But it's something that you have to find. It's something that you have to feel. It's not an absolute. It's not a given. Nothing's a given in this world. You're going to stumble. You're going to fall. You're going to scrape your knee. It's up to you whether you get up and continue or you quit. The Todd McFarlanes, the Stan Lees, the Jim Steranko's, the Sharon Zapatas. You know, we've all stumbled, we've all fallen, we've all scraped our knees. But at what point do you say, I'm going to keep going? Me personally, as Leo Phoenix, I really don't give a shit what anybody thinks. You continue to do what you do, and you move forward. If you believe, welcome back.
I'm back.
Oh my gosh. I don't know what the hell I was saying, but you know what? I said something. I think I started doing pretty good.
You started your own podcast. You started your own podcast.
Well, I did.
Dude, why don't you start your own podcast?
Because I never really thought about it.
Well, you should have thought about it now.
Well, maybe I thought about it now.
No, I'm serious. I think it's cool because you know what happens? As a lot of people sit in their little tiny chairs at home and think, I can't do Leo. I can't do this. I can't do Sharon. I can't. Do you?
Well, I know I can. I've just never gone in that direction.
Honestly, what I learned over the last 2 years, a podcast is a verbal blog.
It is. You know, you're right.
This is a conversation.
Right.
Now, I know, what's his name? Hey, if you're listening, who was here last night?
Jacob.
Jacob was here last night. I think I'm ready for a YouTube channel. I think
we talked about
as a matter
that.
Of fact, we might even set up that. Tonight. I think people want to know, what does Sharon look like? You know, what does her guests look like? What the hell they're eating, what they're drinking, you know, because we're just people.
We'll put a camera up here and have a podcast and record the podcast.
We should. We really should, because you know what, people? We are just ordinary people who have ordinary days. Some days are better than others.
Always.
Some days are epic as fuck.
That's humanity.
And some days are like, shit, what happened? Like my friend, he saw my picture. I was like, error. But I'm just saying, you really...
You know, we really need to do that. And I think this is the beginning of something. I think we really need, even if it's a podcast, even if we're doing a podcast, we record a podcast and we put it on YouTube. Because people want to see who you are.
Yeah, they just want to know, hey, I'm an ordinary person.
Is this motherfucker real?
Yeah, are you real?
You know what? I'm real, motherfucker.
Yeah, we're very real. And you know what's funny? You start thinking, for example.
You want to ask me a question?
Yes.
Chime in, motherfucker.
I'm going to ask you right now, Leo. Hi, I'm Julie. And I'm going to ask you a question. My question is, Julie, what is your definition of being on top of the world?
Being on top of the world is what you make it. And the definition varies. It varies to everybody. I mean, being on top of the world is being financially successful. Being on top of the world is being on top of social media. Being on top of the world is making a living, feeding your family.
Absolutely,
it
right
varies.
There.
It varies.
Yes,
it
just varies. So that was my number one question, like people, because everybody thinks like, I have 10,000 followers.
That don't mean shit because they can be robots. It don't mean nothing.
I'm going to tell you something secretly, people. I know people who have 12,000 followers on Instagram and they ain't making shit money with that. What the fuck are you doing with 12,000 people? I would rather have 2,000 followers that you're engaged with.
I know people that have 12 followers and are amazing artists.
And they're people
and they don't give a
helping.
Shit.
Yes. Yes.
That's my point.
Yes.
All so these... people hear these so-called influencers.
Yes.
That don't mean a shit to me. You know what? I'll be your friend. If you're an influencer, did you just cut yourself?
I just pinched my fucking thumb really bad on
You can be an influencer. You can be whatever. Whatever works for you. But don't sit here. And give me this line of shit that this is what's gonna make me.
All I know is I just opened a 2017 Bordeaux bottle of wine from Italy.
I thought you were gonna say I just opened up a 20-year-old bottle of wine.
No, it's from Italy. My friend Arlene. You know what, Arlene, if you're listening, you have to be on my podcast.
What part of Italy?
I don't know, but all I know is my thumb is in a bruise now. Okay, so focus who you are. Any advice on that? Focus on who you are.
I mean, my advice on that is don't give a shit what anybody thinks. Oh, shit, you did bruise yourself.
Yeah, oh my God. He saw my boo-boo.
Focus on who you are.
This is red wine. It's going to be hot. Sorry.
Oh, jeez. You got any ice?
I ain't got no ice. I got ice. It's downstairs. Okay, so if you ever come to my silos, for those of you who listen or watch, this place is like a little, what are we, like little honeycombs?
This is a great place.
Oh my God, you know what? Honestly.
The silos, I'm going to tell you, the silos, me personally, Sawyer silos is the shit.
Oh yeah.
You want to be cool? Not that I'm cool. Yeah. You got the ice in there?
Yeah, I have a little ice cube.
You want to be cool? Come hang out at the Salos. I'm just saying, there's a lot of people that want to be here.
This is from Italy. You know what the crazy thing is? Way back, oh my gosh, where are we? 2020 right now. 2017, Harvey hit. August.
I was here.
August. 2017, August. Okay. I lost everything.
August 24th. We're the Salo survived because we're in a high ground.
Yeah. If you have your studio here, I would have fucking packed my family here. I'm on the second level, so there's no way. It's like a fortress.
Well, you know, I mean, just the building itself, it's the old rice silos, so it's already built on like 5 feet above regular ground. So you're on the second floor, so you got another 10, 15 feet on above you. I was so afraid that I was going to get flooded.
No.
We're on an island. This is the place to be.
This is my friend Hector Garcia, who designs my book. He told me this in quote, this place is a fucking fortress.
It is.
It's a fortress.
And then if you really want to hide it, you don't tell anybody. They won't know where to find you.
Oh, well, shit. Now everybody knows where I'll be living. Yeah, I'll bring all my dogs and my kid and my family. Well, I would live here.
This can be a stash house.
It's a Alice in Wonderland stash house because, I mean, it's definitely art. Very creative. I'm watching Leo scraping the crumbs over here.
I got to get some salt.
You got some salt? Leo was drinking scotch earlier. Now he's drinking red wine from Italy.
Scotch was some cool,
Tell us about that scotch.
Well, I'm huge into Macallan 18. And then I think the stuff that I had earlier was Glenlivet 18. So it's a little bit, it's a little high end. It's not like the highest end, but it's very, very smooth.
We are by no means a Joe Rogan podcast, who is my favorite podcaster, by the way. But we're going to talk about something I was taking notes when we were talking. So who is responsible for who you are doing it for? I repeat, who is responsible for who you are doing it for? Because we talked about as creatives, sometimes we can get in a really fuckity fuck depression. We even think about suicide. We even think about what the fuck am I doing? Does this even matter? And so we had a deep conversation about an hour and a half earlier.
I remember that conversation.
So who are you doing this for?
I think at some point you kind of, a lot of people go on auto drive. And you get to a point to where, you start thinking, well, I'm thinking about checking out. But at some point, it's not about you anymore. It's about everybody else, whether it's a fan, whether it's a family member, whether it's a friend.
But here's the hard part. When you're so down in the muckety muck that you can't even pull yourself out of that,
you really give yourself no choice. If you really think about the matter, because it's not about you, because you can check out of this world if you're sitting there alone.
True.
But if you know in your mind that you have people that you're responsible for, or fans that you're responsible for, that you're going to affect maybe 10, 20 times fold, then those are things you really have to think about. I think about that all the time. This is not about me anymore.
Yeah.
This is about my fans. This is about my kids. This is about how am I going to affect those guys? Because you become a domino effect at that point.
Okay, so explain the domino effect.
The domino effect is what's the process of checking out? People, that's a nice word of saying suicide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How are you going to affect your fans, your family, everybody else? Is it going to be a positive effect? Is it going to be a negative effect? You really got to check that out. If it's going to be a negative effect, how do you affect the people that are following you, whether it's kids, whether it's fans, whether it's whatever? You know it's going to be a negative effect. So is that the legacy that you want to leave?
But then you look at
Chris Cornell.
Oh, I mean, my let's God. Go. Let's go to I Chris love
Cornell.
Chris.
Let's no, go to no, Chris no, Cornell. No. Let's go straight to the. Ah. Let's go straight to a that subject matter.
Oh my God, Chris, I love.
We all want to be where Chris was at. What's the definition of being where Chris? Chris was successful. Chris was good-looking. Chris was on the verge of a massive tour. This is where we all want to be.
What happened?
But his definition wasn't the same definition as us.
Do you think he just was like, fuck it, I'm gonna die at 52 years old?
No, I don't think Chris thought that. I think Chris was in a dark moment, because the night after Chris committed suicide, I was at the Cult concert here in Houston.
Oh wow!
And
I love the Cult.
And Ian Asbury and Billy Duffy had just done a show with Chris the week before.
Yeah, you know what? I had bought tickets for him to come in May. And I got
the chance to talk to his manager.
Oh wow!
The Cult's manager.
Oh wow!
I said, hey man, what the fuck happened to Chris? We had a short conversation, and the last thing before he walked off, he looked back to me, and I'll never forget this. And he goes, you know, Ian Asbury and Billy Duffy are really torn up about Chris. And Ian actually did a tribute to Chris that night. But the last thing that the manager for the Cult and Chris and Billy Duffy and Ian Asbury said was, this is what drugs does for you.
Okay, so when you say drugs, what kind of drugs? Are you talking about...
I'm just talking about drug abuse. I assume that he's talking about drug abuse.
There's so many different types.
But you... I mean, I guess...
Leo.
I guess in Chris Cornell's issue, he had issues with substance abuse in the past.
I know, but there's a reason why people do take drugs or a prescription to cope with life.
Well, I don't think we're dealing with prescription here. I think we're dealing with substance abuse.
Okay.
I think there's a big difference.
Have you ever been on any type of prescription medicine for
me
any...
personally?
Yes.
No. Okay. I think what he was talking about. I think you're talking about, from the tone that I gathered, I think he's talking.
And
more
there was
of
very
abuse.
Ironic. It's right after him. What's my? Oh my God.
Well, a year later, he's.
What's his name? The band. Oh my God. What's his name?
He sang at his funeral.
What's his name?
I'm a lost.
Oh my God! Fuck us, because we can't remember.
Hold up, give me a second.
Linkin Park.
What's the singer? Linkin Park.
Shit. Well, at least I could come up with Linkin Park. Fuck. Can't remember the name. Oh my God, you guys, I'm so sorry. But he's looking up on his phone. But if you think about it, these two people were so close together, and they knew each other. They knew the demons they were dealing with. I guess my point is, all of us have some type of guardrail damage, and I know if you follow me, I say that term over and over and over.
Chester. Chester literally sang at Chris Cornell's funeral. A year later, he does.
Now,
the same
why
thing.
Did he leave? I'm pointing the finger, but why did he check out early? What do you think?
Man, I think he had the same demons.
Okay, what are those demons?
The demons were drug abuse.
No. There's got to be something deeper than that.
I mean, of course, everything's deeper than that because, I mean, we don't account for personal relationships and all the other stuff going on. But I think the thing that actually takes these guys out is the overdose.
Do you think they were on medication for, a depression?
You know, I don't know. I know Don Bilotti. I met Don Bilotti down here, and she's very, very cool. She does a lot of the...
Wow.
I'm in Houston. She does a lot of the stories for all the major bands. She was the administrator for Ace Frehley, which I met here in Houston.
Right.
And I know she was at an awe because, you know... Chris Cornell checked out, and she was a big follower. And then a year later, you know, Bennington checked out, and I think it's a deeper thing in combination with the drugs.
I think this is my philosophy. If you want to take it for whatever it's worth, but when you start looking at everything is dealt with childhood trauma. If you had a really fucked up childhood. I'm talking about. We don't need to go there. It follows you up until adulthood, and you either A, fix it, eliminate it, or just, you know, you're just like, fuck it. I'm over it. I gotta shed it off like a, I don't know, hair. And a lot of people don't know how to fix their shit. They don't know how to.
I agree.
So I'm going to talk about this because we talked about, I wrote notes here, and
you did.
The bottom line is like the fuckity fuck. Like, how do you get yourself out of that fuckity fuck? He's chomping on chips right now.
I have to because there's warm alcohol.
Because now I gave him some Italian wine. Hey man, warm alcohol. I gave you some. You know what? That wine I gave you. This wine is from 2013 Italy.
That's some shit.
That's some shit wine.
2013, I was going through some bad shit.
Okay, now we're in 2020.
2013, I got kicked
out. Okay,
of the house.
Arlene Valentini, thank you. Yes.
Thank you. I needed this.
Yeah, it's a badass wine, isn't
now,
it?
What was the question again?
Oh, the question is the fuckity fuck. How do you pull yourself out of the fuckity fuck?
You have no choice.
Well, I'm crunch, crunch, crunch. Some people think there is no choice. I'm just going to cut my wrist and
No. You have no choice. No, not in that sense. You have no choice but to continue forward. We've all been there, man. We've all been there. You pick up your, you grab your straps, you pick up the big boy pants, and you move forward. At least that was my philosophy. You know, what do you do? Do you succumb to your situation, to the circumstances, or do you rise above them? I chose to rise above them, make myself a better person, and show those people who stumped me down, you know, and show them, hey, look, I'm above this. And to, even to today's date, you know this, Sharon, from personal conversations, that you've seen them here. It's like, hey, now you're doing better. Why don't we kind of like?
Oh back yeah.
Well, you know what? I'm not the same person.
Exactly.
You fucked up in the beginning, so now I'm moving on.
Yeah. So let's give some tips. If you could give anybody 3 tips on how to pursue a creative platform.
3 tips.
Yeah, I mean, like, really, how do you, hey, I'm new, I'm young, I'm like 22 years old, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, but I want to be a creative. Go.
First of all, I mean, you have to believe in who you are.
Okay, there's the problem right there.
You have to believe.
Most people don't believe in who they are.
You believe in who you are. Whatever you do, whatever you push forward to is you don't quit. You don't quit.
Okay, so don't quit.
You don't quit in any.
And don't quit.
I mean, this is the thing. I mean, you go back to the Stan Lees, the Ditkos, the Simons, the Kirby's, those guys. Those guys had the ability to say, you know what, I'm gonna file bankruptcy. I'm gonna quit. But what did they do? Those guys fought through.
But here's the I call it the situation. Most people want instantaneously famous.
Go talk to Tim Bradstreet. He'll tell you to go fuck yourself.
You cannot be famous in 2 posts.
Sharon, how do you build a house? Do you build it from the roof down?
Foundation.
You have to build a what? A solid what? Foundation.
Yeah.
You don't build a solid foundation, what's going to happen in a year or 6 months? It's going
to crumble. That's so true. You know what's crazy? I refer to Gary Vaynerchuk, who actually is a friend of mine on LinkedIn, but I talked about this briefly. Look, everything is on foundation.
I went from scotch to wine, baby.
This is some serious... Look, my friends, they're from Italy.
I like it.
It is. They're from Italy.
But it's a different taste.
It is definitely...
It's not Glenlivet from
Calendar. Okay. Holy shit, man. I wish like all of y'all were in the studio. What would they feel like right now?
You know what we need to do next time?
What would they feel like right now?
Right now, I think they would feel free.
Free! Like free. You could like fart. Nobody would give a fuck.
We don't give...
Okay, I'm going to fart now. Ready?
Oh my gosh. She just did.
I'm just kidding.
You know what we need to do next time?
What?
We need to videotape it and then YouTube it.
No, I have to. I have to have a YouTube channel because I just have to.
Do a YouTube channel, and I'll be like your support cast.
Yes, you should.
And then we'll bring in different guests.
We're just like, look, I am in a tequila t-shirt, and I'm just here hanging out in the studio, and I'm just really thankful that I even have this motherfucking shit wired up together, because I don't even know what the fuck I'm doing half the time.
Well,
but I do it.
I just walked into this motherfucker like a few months ago. I wouldn't even know where to begin.
He fell in love. He was like, I'm coming.
But you know what? I like it.
Yeah. There is something about walking in this studio. What is it?
The microphones.
No.
And the art.
The art.
The vibrance.
Yeah, the vibrance. The bingo.
You know what? You walk into the silos and you initially get into the energy. And then you walk into these specific studios and then you get the personal energy. And I think that's the vibrance.
It's like this honeycomb. They're like little honeycombs. So we're like the little worker bees. And so when you come in here, and I'll admit, I'm one of the smaller studios, but I love being in the smaller studios. You know why?
You're in a cool studio.
My studio's badass.
And you know what we can do, Sharon?
What can we do?
We can bounce from not any studio, but we can bounce from like your studio to my studio to all over the studios and do the videos from different studios and show people from different perspectives. I think that would be great.
We should.
I think that would be
okay,
fun.
So Jacob, if you're listening, you're going to have a new job now, because I think what's happening is now people want to see this shit. They're like, oh, I want to see your...
Hey, they want to see a circus?
Okay.
We're in a circus town.
Okay, so you know what? We're going to do take a picture of the circus. We're going to do a little video of the circus. Oh my God, I got a fucking knot in my hair. Can I tell you a secret? Ever since COVID, I wash the hair, I let it dry however the fuck it wants. I'm tired of the blow dryer.
I just take a shower.
Okay, because he has no hair. You know what? Have you ever seen what's his name?
Well, actually, after running 3-6 miles the other day,
no.
We were talking about, I hadn't taken a shower.
What's his name? He's a badass. Oh my God. Jason Statham. So that's what Leo reminds me of. The Jason Statham look. It's like that bald, cool, shaved head. Badass, don't fuck with me. There you go.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm glad you see me that way. I'm glad you don't see me as some punk ass walking on the street.
Oh, he's just a little punk ass. Okay, all I know is I just gave him some hot, warm Italian wine.
You know what, man? But it's keeping me stable.
Okay, so the last question that I had here, because we were going through a bunch of... Okay, small fucks. What do we do with small fucks? And we got 57 minutes and we're done at 60. So you got 3 minutes.
50 small fucks?
You got 3 minutes. Small fucks. Come on.
Expound.
Ooh, all I know is I wrote this down. What can you do with the small fucks? What can you do with things that are small fucks?
Oh, man, either you fix them or you start over.
Mm.
You really have no leeway with that. Because if you choose to attempt to fix a problem...
Mm-hmm.
And you fuck it even more, you might as well just start over. I mean, I've been there.
Oh my God, yeah.
I mean, you've been there. We're looking at it right now.
Yeah, we're looking at it right now, though. I have a popsicle that's like, fuck you.
She went from popsicle to coronavirus.
Let's not even talk about it. It's just a basic piece of
and
shit.
We had that conversation yesterday. Yeah. But, I mean, there's really no leeway on that.
Okay, you got 58 seconds.
Now you're putting me...
You're under pressure.
Well, I mean...
Under pressure. Okay,
is that a Queen song? Yes.
No, that's Bowie. It is Bowie. Okay, so where can we find you? Where can we locate you?
You can find me at 1502 Sawyer Street, 121, Studio B, www.artbystudioB.com. Instagram, same thing. And follow me and do whatever you need to guys do. It's pretty cool.
Okay, all I can tell you is this was super unplanned, but planned at the same time. We had a great time tonight. It's Friday. It is, what the fuck is today? May
22nd.
May 22nd. Mm-hmm. I think we're on the edge of the COVID. Neither one of us had a fucking mask, did we?
I didn't use a mask.
I got cooties. You got cooties. You know what?
I never got sick.
Fuck that shit. Okay, so... Tune in. If you have any questions, call me or email me at middlefingerhappiness@gmail.com. Thank you for tuning in to Middle Finger Happiness.
Have a good one.
Have a good one. Take care. Peace out.